All right. We want to praise the Lord on this Wednesday night, Lord's Day Wednesday night, January the 26th. I just got a feeling it's going to be a bad year.
Yeah.
Be a good year to get out of here. But if the Lord leaves us here, I got a feeling it's going to be a bad year, kind of like our Sunday school. Or not our Sunday school, but like our lesson tonight out of the book of Acts chapter 8. About Saul, he's somewhat of a terrorist, and he's breathing out threatenings, and he's breathing out threatenings against the church, against the Lord Jesus, and he was something to contend with. I believe even the Pharisees were afraid of him. I believe his own sick was afraid to do anything to him. I think he was quite a contender. And we're not going to sing tonight.
Hi, Brenda.
Hey, Sister Brenda. We're not going to sing tonight, but if Brenda had been here tonight, she would have sung, I guarantee it. We'd have been sure of that. But we're in Acts chapter number 8. And we're going to go to God in prayer. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for Lord, all your blessings. We thank you, Father, for your mercy and your grace. Me and Brother Ed was talking about how we just stand amazed, Lord, that you could put up with us and forbear us and forgive us and not only save us, Lord, but bless us. We're thankful for that.
Yes,
I pray, God, tonight for those that might be listening, Lord, tonight that may not be saved, that may not know you personally as our Lord and Savior. I pray the Holy Spirit of God would arrest them. I pray it'd draw them with cords of love. Pray they'd find, Lord, their great need, Lord, is for you to come in and take your rightful place upon the throne of their heart. And I pray they get saved before it's everlastingly too late. And I pray for the young people might be listening, Lord, tonight. May their attention be upon the Word of God. May the Holy Spirit of God guide them and help them, Lord, find their way to Calvary. And Lord, we thank you and praise you for always, Lord, blessing the efforts of this little church. Help us to be fruitful. Help us be faithful. Help us be found following. We ask it all in Jesus' name. And Lord, we pray for all of our sick members. We pray for those that hadn't been here for a while. And Lord, they would make a decision, Lord, to be here this Sunday, the weather permitting. We know the weather's going to be a factor even tonight, Lord, calling for some snow tonight. But we're thankful, Lord, when we can gather. We ask your blessings on it. In Jesus' name, amen. We just finished up Acts chapter number 7, and it ended up with Stephen, the great preacher, great man of God, delivering the message of God. It wasn't accepted. Matter of fact, they rejected him and the message and stoned him. And it said, he asked God to forgive them. He said, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. And here we are in Acts chapter number 8. Mentioned in that last chapter, they laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. He didn't stay young long. And in chapter 8 it said, and Saul was consenting unto his death, talking about Stephen. And at that time there was a great persecution against the church, which was at Jerusalem. They were all scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea and Samaria, except the apostles. Now, there's bad and good both here. The good is the church scattered, covered more ground. The bad is the persecution is just getting started.
Right.
When it mentions about a great persecution here in verse 1 of chapter 8, there's some of that going on today. I've seen where the previous House Speaker, Pelosi, had her house had them do an exorcism on her house. Do the math on that. And I seen also where...
they do it on her.
Yeah. I think her husband's got problems.
Oh, he does.
But they had a priest come in and do an exorcism on their home.
God, no.
Man, I'm telling you, there's a lot of stuff going on right now. And there was some military academy that were graduating. And they had a statue of Jesus. And they had to cover it up for the ceremony.
Oh, man.
Just little things like that.
Yeah.
Take
him out of here.
I noticed the vice president, as she is quoting from the, I believe it's from the Bill of Rights, talking about how we're endowed by our Creator. She left that out. With certain inalienable rights. The right to life, she left that out. But she did say the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness. You see, those weren't incidental. They were on purpose. She don't want to mention the Creator, and she couldn't mention the right to life because they want to bring abortion back.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, abortion is a person. But in Romans chapter number 1, verse 28 says they did not like to retain God in their knowledge.
Mm-hmm.
And she didn't want to mention about that endowed by their Creator. She just wanted to draw out what fit her agenda.
Right.
She said the right to liberty and the pursuit of happiness. And she so misconstrued that. It was pretty bad, but it was intentional. But this persecution... back here at Jerusalem was so great that the church was scattered abroad throughout all the regions of Judea, Samaria, except the apostles. The apostles abode there in Jerusalem, and I'm going to say they were pretty concerned. Verse 2 says, "And devout men carried Stephen to his burial, made great lamentation over him." Stephen was a first martyr of the church, but he was a great soldier of the cross. He didn't mince his words. Verse 3, "As for Saul, he made havoc of the church, entering into every house and hailing men and women, committing them to prison." There's a lot of that going on today.
Mm-hmm.
Over in the Muslim countries,
yeah,
they're really turning up the heat on persecuting Christians. They're killing them, they're burning them, they're burning the churches. And Jesus mentioned in the world we would have tribulation, but he said, "Be of good cheer, I've overcome the world." We're overcomers through him.
Mm-hmm.
But this ain't our home. We don't fit in down here. We're supposed to be here. We're his ambassadors. We're his witnesses. We're children of light. But the world, the Bible said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds are evil. Neither come they to the light lest their deeds be reproved. And Saul here, like a terrorist, is making havoc of the church. You wouldn't think one man could do that much harm to a church.
Mm.
But I'm going to say Saul was someone to be feared.
Yeah.
Full of hatred.
Mm.
When he saw them stone Stephen, he probably affected him, made him kind of bloodthirsty, I guess, and mentions about entering into every house and hailing men and women, committed them to prison. He didn't care about them at all.
No.
And therefore, they were scattered abroad, went everywhere preaching the word. It didn't stop them from the work, but it made them further out, which is good. And Philip went down to the city of Samaria and preached Christ unto them. See, Saul caused the church to scatter. Philip's part of the church. He's one of those seven deacons. And he went down there and preached Christ unto them.
Yeah.
And the people with one accord gave heed unto those things which Philip spake, hearing and seeing the miracles which he did. This is pretty good here about Philip. For unclean spirits, crying with a loud voice, came out of many that were possessed with them. That may be what Miss Pelosi was having done to her house. May have had some unclean spirits.
Yeah.
Well, Philip was casting them out. And they come out crying with a loud voice. Came out of many that were possessed with them. And many taken with palsies and that were lame were healed. Philip's doing miracles down here in Samaria. And said there was great joy in that city. You know, I think a lot of our cities could have great joy in them.
Yeah.
If there was room for Jesus in them.
That's right.
But most of our cities, they don't want anything to do with Jesus. They just want to have fun.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Bible says Moses chose to suffer affliction with the people of God rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season,
right,
esteeming that the riches of Christ were greater riches than that of Egypt. And there's joy in this city because he's preaching Jesus unto them.
Yeah.
Verse 9, but there was a certain man called Simon, which before time in the same city used sorcery and bewitched the people of Samaria, giving out that himself was some great one. A lot of imposters, even today, claim to be something. The Bible mentions in the book of Jude that there are clouds with no water. They don't have no spirit. He claimed that he was some great one. And he used sorcery, that's another word for drugs, and bewitched the people of Samaria. And thank God for real preachers, amen.
Yeah, that's right.
Thank God for the gospel. Jesus came to set captives free.
Yes.
And these people were in bondage. Verse 10 says, to whom they all gave heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is the great power of God. See how easily they were deceived by this Simon.
Thank you, Brenda.
And to him they had regard, because that of a long time he had bewitched them with sorceries.
Mm-hmm.
Now, Simon doing pretty good till Philip shows up. Verse 12, but when they believed Philip, preaching the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ, they were baptized, both men and women.
Mm-hmm.
Then Simon himself believed also. And when he was baptized, he continued with Philip and wondered. That's a pretty key word right there.
Yeah, that's right. It is.
Beholding the miracles and the signs which were done. You see, Simon, he wants to be some great one. I've met a lot of people like Simon. They're looking for a shortcut. They're trying to figure out some way to jump ahead.
Mm-hmm.
And Simon here, he's wondering and beholding, trying to figure out a way to, I guess, beat the system, or, you know, bypass the true work of God.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 14, now when the apostles which were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent unto them Peter and John. Now Peter and John, they're both apostles. Philip is a deacon.
Yeah, this is John the Baptist, right?
No, this is
John.
Yeah, this. No, this is that one Jesus loved, Peter and John, that disciple whom he loved.
Is that his half brother then? Jesus,
no, that's James.
Okay.
Yeah, Peter, and then John is that disciple whom Jesus loved, that wrote the Gospel of John and Book of Revelations.
Okay, little John.
I call it.
Okay.
Who, when they were come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost. Now remember, Simon's following, and he's wondering, he's beholding all this stuff. And Peter, John, they prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, for as yet he was falling upon none of them, only they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, or Lord Jesus. Then they laid their hands on them, and they received the Holy Ghost. And when Simon saw that through laying on of the apostles' hands the Holy Ghost was given, he offered them money. You see what I'm talking about? Simon, his motive here is to, he wants to be a great one. That's brought out there in verse number 9. And he offers them money and got him in trouble. He said, give me also this power. See, he wants to be some great one. That on whomsoever I lay hands, he may receive the Holy Ghost. You see, in the Lord's work, the way up is down. Humble yourself, therefore, in the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time.
Yes.
Simon's trying to exalt himself. He's offering money. And he wants to have the power that on whomsoever, it sounds innocent, but it's not. And verse 20, but Peter said unto him, this is a strong rebuke.
Yes, it is.
Thy money perish with thee, because thou hast thought that the gift of God may be purchased with money. He went real strong right here. Thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. And those are both true statements.
Yes, they are. Very true.
You know, Titus talks about many profess that they know God, but in works they deny. What's Simon here?
Yeah, that's
right. He just don't add up. In Titus chapter 1, verse 12, talks about they profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being abominable and disobedient and unto every good work reprobate. Well, that's kind of what Peter said to Simon here. He said, thou hast neither part nor lot in this matter, for thy heart is not right in the sight of God. You know, someone gets right with God, they're clothed, they're in the right mind, and they do right. I mean, honestly, Simon's not doing right. He wants to get money. He wants to be some great one. Peter tells him in verse 22, repent therefore of this thy wickedness and pray God if perhaps the thought of thy heart may be forgiven thee. For I perceive that thou art in the gall of bitterness and in the bond of iniquity. Like I said, this is strong rebuke. The Bible mentions about rebuke a wise man, and he'll thank you for it. Well, this rebuke was necessary. Simon, he missed the picture. He saw what he wanted to see, and he did what he wanted to do, but he wasn't what he needed to be. I will commend him in what he said to Peter. Then answered Simon and said, pray ye to the Lord for me that none of these things which ye have spoken come upon me.
Yeah.
And they, when they had testified, preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Paul told Timothy to preach the word.
Yeah.
Be instant in season, out of season.
Right.
Reprove, rebuke, and exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. That's what Peter did. He reproved, rebuked, and exhorted in what he said to Simon. And Simon, really, he responded the right way. He said, pray for me that none of these things which he's spoken come upon me.
Yeah.
And then they finished up when they had testified, preached the word of the Lord, returned to Jerusalem and preached the gospel in many villages of the Samaritans. Now, Philip's right in the middle of a revival. I mean, the whole city of Samaria, they're believing him. They're being baptized. They're receiving the Holy Ghost. Verse 26, an angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go towards the south unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem unto Gaza, which is desert. So he's got a command to lead the revival and go to the desert.
That's right.
And he arose and went. And behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all of her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship. I want you to notice that the angel told Philip to go here.
Right.
And God noticed this eunuch came to worship.
Yeah.
In verse 28, he was returning from Jerusalem and sitting in his chariot read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot.
Mm-hmm.
Philip, one thing you can say about him, he does what God bids him to do.
Yeah, he does.
Verse 30 said, and Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah, and said, understandest thou what thou readest? I can just see this in my mind's eye. Here this man is under great authority. He's a dignitary. He's in charge of the queen's treasury. No doubt had guards, chariot, all kind of things, you know, worldly things. And Philip runs to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? He asked him a question. And he got an answer.
Mm-hmm.
That Ethiopian eunuch said, how can I except some man should guide me? You see, lost people need help.
Yes, Lord.
In Acts chapter 16, there's a jailer. Man, it had an earthquake like it did California this morning.
Mm-hmm.
And it opened all the doors of the prison. And all the prisoners, their shackles fell off. And that jailer sprang in, called for a light. And he said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? He asked a question.
Mm-hmm.
That's Acts 16:31. Well, this Ethiopian eunuch, he's asking a question.
Mm-hmm.
How can I understand what I'm reading except some man should guide me, is what he's saying here. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. Now, Philip's getting to ride in this limousine, this nice chariot, mm-hmm. with this dignitary.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 32 says, the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter.
Oh, God.
You know, Jesus,
the
Lamb of God, that John Baptist said, behold, the Lamb of God takes away the sin of the world.
Oh, my.
He was led as a sheep to the slaughter.
Yes.
And like a lamb dumb before his shearer, so open he not his mouth. What a scripture.
Yes,
now this is out of Isaiah chapter 53.
Yeah.
And verse 7 and 8. And it says, and in his humiliation, they humiliated Jesus. They spit in his face.
Yeah.
They put a crown of thorns on his head and beat him over the head with a reed. Then they gave him the reed and put a purple robe on him and pretended they was addressing a king. But in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. See, the Mormons believe that Jesus had children by Mary Magdalene. If you'll notice this verse 33, which is also in Isaiah 53, who shall declare his generation? No descendants. I am a child of God.
Yes.
But by being born again, being born of God, but there is no children of Jesus or Mary Magdalene. It's brought out right there in that statement. I think it's worded exactly the same way in Isaiah 53.
Yeah.
I believe it's worded exactly the same way. Verse 8, he was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. He came to give his life a ransom for all.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
There were no children. I just won't bring that out tonight. There's a lot of whims, a lot of heresy. There was no children between Jesus and Mary Magdalene.
No.
And Jesus wasn't a homosexual.
No.
He didn't have relations with John. And David and Jonathan weren't homosexual. They just loved each other.
Mm-hmm.
But they misconstrued so much in here. But he's reading Isaiah 53, verse 7 and 8. Verse 34, and the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, this of himself or of some other man? Now, Philip doesn't seem good ground right here. This Ethiopian eunuch, he's not just asking questions, he's paying attention to what's being said.
Yeah, that's right.
Verse 35, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus.
Yeah.
I'm glad that verse is in there.
Yes, Lord.
I don't have anybody here tonight but Brother Ed. I'm not preaching to Brother Ed. I'm preaching a lot of people online.
Yeah.
But I'll say this about this verse right here. You know, if you can't preach to one, the Bible said it. If you're faithful in a little, God will make you master over much.
Yeah.
But if you can't be faithful in that one, don't expect God to give you 1,000 or 100. Philip just left a great revival, and he's preaching to one man.
Yeah.
This Ethiopian eunuch. He opened his mouth and began the same scripture, and he preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water, and the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? Mm-hmm. Now, if you got the right Bible, this next verse is in there. And if you don't have the right Bible, your Bible goes verse 36 to verse 38. The reason why they don't like verse 37 is because it don't line up with their heresy.
Right.
They think you're saved just by being baptized. That's true, the thief on the cross went to hell. And there's others. I had a guy tell me one day, he said, there's no way you can show me anywhere in the Bible where somebody can be saved without being baptized. I just took him straight to Romans chapter 10. Verse number 13, whosoever call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I said, how about that? He said, I didn't know that was in there. And then later on he lied and said he never said that.
Yeah.
Just tell you, a lot of people need to listen. This eunuch is listening.
You know what? We were talking about this, remember, on the way over here, Brother Eddie.
how simple it was to be saved.
Yeah.
Now, Philip says right here, just believe on the Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. Now, the water's there, and the Ethiopian eunuch, he wants to be baptized. There's only one reason.
Hi, Carolyn.
Why Philip won't go ahead and baptize him.
Yeah.
This is the most important part of the whole conversation. Like I said, if you got the right Bible, verse 37 is in your Bible.
Right.
And Philip said, if thou believest with all thy heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That's,
amen.
See that belief? In the last of the Gospel of Mark, a lot of people just get all tore up on this. But in the last of the book of Mark, Jesus here, Mark 16, verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. They say, there it is. Read a little further. But he that believeth not shall be damned. Never mention baptism at all.
No.
Now, I did get baptized after I got saved. It was like 2 weeks. We had to get a bunch of people together.
Yeah.
It was 2 weeks later when I got baptized. I was saved April 27th, 1988. Got saved right there in my bedroom. How'd you get saved, buddy? I believed on Him.
That's right.
It's rich in mercy to all that call upon Him.
Yeah.
I laid hold on eternal life. I was just a babe in Christ. But I do know the day I got saved. Mm-hmm. I know the day I got baptized. I got baptized down at Brotherhood Free Will Baptist Church. And Brother Ricky Prophet. And George Crisp. Brother George Crisp and Brother Rick Prophet, one on one side, one on the other. Old Brother Ed, big old boy back then. They baptized me. And a man that I worked with was there when I got baptized. And he come up there, his name was Mark Bunch. And he come up and said, I refuse to believe that God could save someone like you. And I couldn't argue with him. I just got saved, just a babe.
That's right.
He said, I want to hear your testimony. And I told him how I asked the Lord to forgive me and asked the Lord to save me and believed Him to do it. He grabbed me even though I was wet, picked me plump off the ground. And just telling me this verse 37 says, if thou believest.
Yeah.
See, with the heart, man believeth.
That's right.
With the mouth, confession's made. Again, Romans chapter 10. You can't get no plainer than this.
No.
Romans chapter 10, verse number 9. But if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved.
Amen.
For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation.
Right.
I'm just telling you, this verse 37 needs to be in there.
Oh, it is.
He said, I believe. And he said, that's good enough for me. Verse 37.
Yeah.
Verse 38, he commanded the chariot, stand still.
Yeah.
Not just see him come out of that chariot. They went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And then when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more. And I want you to notice these next words. And he went on his way rejoicing.
Rejoicing, yes.
Boy, he had something to rejoice about.
Yes, he did.
He's been saved, been baptized. The Spirit's caught Philip away. He don't need Philip no more.
No.
He went on his way rejoicing. I like that song. I'm rejoicing in my Savior every moment of the day since He gave me this heart of love. On and on we walk together in the hallelujah way since He gave me this heart of love. This eunuch, He's rejoicing.
Yes.
He don't need Philip no more. Verse 40, but Philip was found. And he's all this passing through. He preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Now verse 9, I'm glad we're going to get to this tonight. Paul is Saul's Gentile name.
Right.
Saul is his Jewish name.
Right.
And when he got saved, the Jews didn't want no more to do with him, so he went by Paul.
Right.
And he may have very well been married. And his wife probably, I mean, they just write you a funeral. I mean, just, I don't know you no more. You're not my husband no more. But Saul, yet breathing out threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest. He's getting too big for his britches. I've met a lot of people like Saul. Matter of fact, Donnie mentioned last Sunday about a man that was difficult to talk to. And he said, I'd like for you to talk to my pastor. He said, yeah, I'll handle him. And you know, he may be able to. But I'll tell you one thing, he's going to know difference between somebody that knows the Lord, somebody that knows their Bible, and just talking just anybody. I'm going to get a lick or two in too.
That's right.
But Saul here, like I said, getting too big for his britches, yet breathing out threatenings. Who's going to stop Saul? I'm going to tell you, this is a one-man terrorist organization. Threatenings and slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest. You know, this is kind of like getting more power than he needed. He said, I want all the permission. Give me letters. I want to bring them bound. And verse 2 said he desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that if he found any of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound unto Jerusalem. And I know one that can handle Saul, and he's fixing to meet him himself. Verse 3, and as he journeyed, now I'm talking about a man that's he's dogmatic. He's headstrong. I mean, we're talking snorting fire.
Ain't scared of nothing.
He's not. He's got the papers,
yeah.
The power.
Yeah.
Like I said, he's somewhat of a terrorist, breathing out threatenings.
Yeah.
And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus. See, he had letters to Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad Jesus takes care of us, because I couldn't handle Saul.
Mm-hmm.
They couldn't either. But as he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined round about him a light from heaven. You know, Saul's been needing this.
Yes.
He's a terror to his own self.
Right.
He's a terror to others. And he's fixing to be humbled here. Verse 4 said, and he fell to the earth. I can just see him like a tree.
Yeah.
Flopping like a fish.
Down on his knees.
Fall down to the earth and heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, I've heard all kind of boasters, big guys, you know, nobody going to tell me nothing. Listen, Saul was as big as they come.
Mm-hmm.
He's as bad as they come.
Yeah.
But I want you to notice what happened to big bad Saul. Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Now, Saul mentioned in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, knowing therefore the terror of the Lord. Well, he's met the real terrorist. He said, who art thou, Lord?
Yeah, call him Lord. Don't
he's ready to talk.
Yeah.
He's not threatening now.
Uh-huh.
I'm going to say he's talking pretty polite.
Yes, sir.
And the Lord said, I am Jesus.
Oh, my.
Now, I'll say about right there, Saul probably bit his tongue.
Oh, he did.
He said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. It's hard for thee to kick against the pricks.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the Lord here has not only got Saul's attention, But he's telling him something he never heard before.
Right.
He said, "You're persecuting me, Saul."
Yeah.
And Saul's scared to death, thinking he's fixing to die. And really, if the Lord had wanted to, he'd been a dead man. All he had to do is say, "Be dead."
That's right.
Verse 6, "And he, trembling and astonished, said, Lord, what will thou..." He's ready to negotiate.
Mm-hmm.
"What will thou have me to do?" He's ready to take orders. He's ready to listen. "And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go to the city, and it shall be told thee what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless." I want you to know this had an effect on them too.
Oh, sure it did.
Now when Paul's giving his testimony in Acts chapter 26, he makes mention that the Lord spoke to him in the Hebrew tongue.
Mm.
And these men said they heard, they hearing a voice, but seeing no man.
Mm-hmm.
And these men, this voice like a sound, God was talking to Saul, not to them. But they did hear the voice. They didn't see no man. I don't know that Saul saw him. He may have. But he definitely had more than a close encounter.
You remember me telling you the story about when I got saved that I heard that voice?
Yeah.
When my wife turned and walked away from me, that voice said, "You need to go to church with her this morning." And I was saved that morning, Brother Eddie. That was the Lord speaking to me.
Amen. I'm glad God don't leave us alone, amen.
No, he don't. Thank you.
I mean, I might not want nothing to do with him, but he wanted something to do with me,
right,
amen.
Right.
But the men that were with him, they were speechless. They heard the voice, but they saw no man.
Mm-hmm.
And Saul rose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, wonder why he had his eyes closed. I'll tell anybody, we're talking about a man in over his head that thought he was somebody and met somebody that really was somebody, and he's afraid to even open his eyes. But it says, when his eyes were opened, he saw no man, but they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus.
Mm-hmm.
This man has been humbled, and he was 3 days without sight, neither did eat nor drink. I'm talking about this man.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Yes.
This man here, he bit off more than he could chew. I mean, boy, when the Lord shows up, and I've heard a lot of testimonies from people that met God on pretty bad terms. But I'm glad God will meet a man on any terms. And
yes,
he met Saul here. As he's breathing out threatenings and slaughter, he got his attention. He got him humbled that he didn't eat anything for 3 days.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 10, "There was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I'm here, Lord." Ananias, not afraid of the Lord. He knows the Lord.
Right.
"And the Lord said unto him, Arise and go into the street which is called Straight." You see, Jesus makes the crooked straight.
Yeah.
Saul's been straightened out.
Yeah.
He's where he needs to be. He's on the street which is called Straight. "And inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For behold, he prayeth." Not only did he get his eyes open, but he's praying now.
Mm-hmm.
"And have seen in a vision a man named Ananias coming in and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight." Now Ananias gets a little afraid right here. "And Ananias answered, Lord, I've heard by many of this man how much evil he hath done to thy sights." I'm sorry, that saints in Jerusalem. Saul had quite a reputation.
Mm-hmm.
And Ananias, he's not afraid of the Lord, but he's a little afraid of Saul.
That's right.
"And here he hath authority from the chief priests to bind all that call on thy name." He's got great power. Verse 15, "But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and the children of Israel, for I will show him how great things he must suffer for my name's sake.
Yeah.
He's got to pay back some of this affliction that he's put on others. He's going to pay some of that back. Now, a lot of people, they don't accept Saul. They don't think he's real. But right here, Jesus said, he's a chosen vessel unto me. I've corresponded with a lot of people on the internet, and they don't accept the writings of Paul.
Uh-uh.
And I got a feeling they're going to get an encounter over that. And verse 17, and Ananias went his way and entered into the house, putting his hands on him. Look what he calls Saul. Brother Saul.
Yeah, that's right.
The Lord, even Jesus that appeared unto thee in the way as thou camest, hath sent me, that thou mightest receive thy sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost.
Mm-hmm.
Verse 18, and immediately there fell from his eyes as it had been scales. I wonder how man discovered contact lenses. I wonder how man figured out that you could put something on your eyeball. Said it fell from his eyes as it had been scales, and he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. I got a feeling a lot of these discoveries that man have come up with come right straight out of the Bible.
Yes, I'm sure it did.
Now, this would be kind of like cataracts.
Mm-hmm.
And my dad, he had his removed. They just do one at a time. They took that one off. He tried talking and taking that other off. They said, no, Mr. Wade, we do them one at a time. But anyway, Daddy could see so good when he took that off.
Yeah.
He wanted that other removed, but he had come back for another appointment. But he received sight forthwith and arose and was baptized. And when he had received meat, he was strengthened. Then was Saul certain days with the disciples which were at Damascus. They're still afraid of him.
Mm-hmm.
And Saul was, you know, he was a chosen vessel. He was an exceptional, I mean, very learned man. Verse 20, and straightway he preached Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. Boy, they didn't want to think about that here. The great terrorist, the great persecutor, the great breathing out threatenings and slaughter is now preaching Christ in the synagogues that he is the Son of God. But all that heard him were amazed and said, Is not this he that destroyed them which called on this name in Jerusalem and came hither for that intent that he might bring them bound unto the chief priest? I mean, they ain't quite got this figured out yet. Verse 22, but Saul increased the more in strength and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus. I mean, here he is, a Pharisee of the Pharisees. Now he's got his eyes open. Now he's got the Holy Ghost. Now I'm telling you, he's been straightened out.
Yeah.
And he's increasing more in strength and confounding the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. And after that many days were fulfilled, the Jews took counsel to kill him.
That's right. They want to get rid of him after he preached them.
Well, some people just don't like truth.
No, that's right.
They wanted to kill Jesus, away with him, crucify him.
Right.
Now they want to kill Saul, which was their hero.
Yeah.
But their line of wait was known of Saul, and they watched the gates day and night to kill him.
Mm.
Then the disciples took him by night and led him down by the wall in a basket. We'll stop on verse 25.
Okay.
But I did want to cover Saul.
Yeah.
He's
good job too.
He's a great example of what Jesus can do with anybody.
That's right.
I mean, no preacher could have reached Saul. He was a pedigree Bible student taught by Galilee. I think sit at the feet of Galilee. You know, he had so much knowledge and so much anger or a spite towards Christians and Jesus, that he just needed to meet Jesus himself.
That's right.
You know what? I met Jesus myself. And I went from Saul to Paul.
Good teaching.
I was like him. I was out of control. I was doing all kind of things wrong. Saul was doing everything wrong. Mm. But he got straightened out. Now he's doing right and they want to kill him.
Yeah.
But he got some help now. The disciples took him by night.
Yeah.
Let him down by the wall in a basket.
He got to get out of Dodge, don't he?
Well, he's getting help from those that he hurt.
Right.
They're taking care of him now. And he's still got a long ways to go.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm glad, you know, no matter how big you are, how bad you are, you're not big enough and bad enough that Jesus can't bring you down.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
I've saw a lot of big men brought down. I remember I was in a service one time, and there was a man in there, and I mean, no doubt about it, buddy, he's full of the devil. And he didn't know what to do, but the Lord did. That man got saved.
Oh, man.
And listen, had done threatened to kill his family, done threatened to kill others, but when he got saved, he didn't want to kill nobody.
No, that's right.
He just wanted to love people.
Yeah.
Man, his wife was so glad to get him in his right mind, clothed and in his right mind.
Yeah, that's right.
We're talking about a man had a knife on him, brought it in there going to kill somebody, just gave the knife to somebody else, so I don't need this no more.
Mm.
I met him. Boy, meeting Jesus will put a change in you. I'll tell you it right now.
Yes, it will.
Father, we thank you for this lesson tonight. And I pray for those Sauls out there, Lord, those Muslims, Lord, those Buddhists, those that are full of indignation. Lord, they're just full of hate. They've never met the love of God. They've never met Jesus. And Lord, they need to. They need what Saul got. They need a good straightening out. They need a good dose of the love of God. And Lord, I pray for them, God, tonight, that they find their way to you before they find themselves in the devil's hell. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Carolyn, you can call Tammy. Tell her to put us on live if you don't care.